Episode 60, Frugal Summer Fun.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Oh yeah, having fun in the summertime.
Welcome to another episode of the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
Hey, this is Jill.
When you hear this, I will already have a child.
Whoa.
But as we record this, I have a child not on the outside of my body, still on the inside.
It was the best way to describe that.
Thank you.
You picked the best words.
Thank you. I do. Yeah. You know, I am a professional writer and podcaster, and words are my job. So thank you, Jill, for realizing that.
I will affirm you.
Yes. But, I mean, that to say, I am personally looking for some frugal ways to have fun this summer because I'm spending all my money on a baby, probably. I don't know. I've never been a parent before.
On this thing that's outside my body and is a human.
Right. They're much more expensive on the outside, from what I hear.
Well, summer is one of my favorites, and I think it is super easy to enjoy free things in the summer, but it still is always good to talk about it and give some ideas, get some new ideas. These are one of my favorites, right? When mm-hmm. we're talking about free and or frugal activities, because it reminds us that we can have fun and accomplish financial goals.
Yes. So we're going to talk about things you're going to want to do this summer, things people are going to tell you to do this summer that you don't want to do. And we're going to talk about all the ways that you can save money and not die in the summer heat, especially if you live in Florida, like me,
yeah.
And you're carrying a baby on the outside of your body. But first, our sponsors. As always, we've got a really, really great deal for you. The first one is the Master Your Money Super Bundle. It's a collection of 45 courses, ebooks, printables, and videos to help you do better in all areas of your money. And whether that's budgeting, paying off debt, investing, side hustling, whatever, this is a course package that will stay with you for a long, long time. And it has over $1,200 worth of resources in it, but you can get it for $49.97 when you visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/mastermoney. It is a really great resource, and your purchase will support the podcast, which love even more.
We love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And also brought to you by Slip and Slides, one of the most dangerous and thrilling frugal ways to enjoy the summer. Get out that tarp, some soap, and your garden hose, and slide down that slippery slope to financial freedom. Slip and Slides, the best way to get there fast and save money while doing it.
As long as the where you're getting to is the other side of your backyard.
Yeah. Just getting to the bottom of the hill. We all know it's tough to get to the bottom of the hill. So,
yes,
you need a slippery slope to help you.
Of course. And thank you to our sponsor, Slip and Slides.
Yes. Slip and Slides.
I hope that's not trademarked. If it is.
A slipping slide.
Slipping slide is what we said. So,
yes.
Don't sue us. All right. We are going to talk some frugal fun at home. We're going to talk about some frugal fun. It's really difficult to talk at this point in my pregnancy. Frugal fun on vacation, etc. Let's get started. We've got 15 fun and frugal summer activities from goodbye to broke.
Mm-hmm.
How'd you feel about these, Jill?
I felt good about them, Jen. I think there's something for everybody here in this article. You know, there's 15 things listed, so find something. The one that I like, and it made me excited for warm weather, is disc golf. So
see, that was the last one on my list.
Oh, well, you know what? It takes all kinds. This is growing in popularity, but it is really fun. And you don't have to be super good at it. You don't have to go all in and join competitions. Like, you can just do this in an afternoon. Basically, it's like a golf course that people will set up in the woods, and you like throw your disc, aka your frisbee, but don't tell the disc golfers that. And you try and hit this, you try and like get it into a basket. It's you'll understand it when you do it. It's like a basket with chains on it. Sometimes it takes a couple of times, you know, just like putt-putt. Like you throw the disc here, then you pick it up from there and you throw it some more. Okay, some fun things about
it. Or like if you're like me all day.
Yeah.
It would take all day.
It is fun though. You do it with a group of friends. You get outdoors in nature. You might get to see parts of a park that you didn't realize were there. And also, on a lot of these disc golf trails, people will actually set up coolers along the way with like food and or drink in them that you like for donation. So like some lemonade or some iced tea or some water or whatever. And that just makes it fun because it feels like a community.
That would be my summer activity. Just sitting up there with the drinks.
Yeah. I'm at basket number 9. Just... enjoying an ice cold tea or beverage of some sort.
My summer activity is sitting at hole number 9.
Yeah. Anyhow, it's super fun. And you can have as many people as you want, or you can do it by yourself, but you'll probably meet friends along the way and you might just get yourself an iced tea.
From me. I think all of the ones that I'm going to throw out there are going to be different than Jill's because I live in Florida where summer is not a place where you want to do a lot of things. And I know that I won't be alone because we have a lot of listeners in Texas and on the Gulf Coast and in Florida. So I'm going to speak for you guys and gals, and that's where all of my suggestions are going to come from. So my favorite on this one was dinner picnics. So evening, like no earlier than sunset. Yeah, no earlier than sunset for these dinner picnics. We're not doing lunch picnics. We could do breakfast, but that's very early. So yeah, sandwiches and different frugal foods, I think, are a really great way. Either so sunset at the beach is probably my favorite time to go to the beach in the summer. It is fantastic. And obviously, if you're on the other coast, sunrise picnic at the beach, fantastic. Or on a lake, everyone has a body of water in the summer. So bring food, bring a blanket, bring a basket or a bag, and eat.
BYOP for picnic. Also, have a cookout. And sure, Jen, I'll let you have this one. It can be after the sun goes down, but in my area, it doesn't have to be. You can do this for lunch. And I mentioned this in a previous episode, but something that I enjoy doing with some people in my friend group is to bring your own thing to throw on the grill. So, you know, maybe the host might provide some sides, but, or you could bring them yourself, but then bring your own thing to throw on the grill. And that can be a frugal way of getting together with a bunch of people, enjoying a barbecue, but not putting all the financial responsibility on the host to provide everyone with steaks.
Yes. This is why we did episode 58 first, is so that you could accumulate all the friends. Then you can use the information from this episode to profit from that. So if you don't have any friends, go back to episode 58, creating a culture of frugality in your community.
Cool. Yeah.
I also love stargazing. Mm. So you can do this just at outside with an app or at a school's planetarium if you're near a university that has science. Then, yeah.
Science.
Doing some stargazing is really fun. It's also at night. And you're welcome, Southerners.
I also liked intertubing. listed on here. So, of course, in a lot of areas, there are places that you can pay to go tubing. That's not at least what I'm talking about here. Actually, this past, what would it have been? 4th of July. We just got some tubes that we like blew up with our mouths from Walmart for $5. There's some fun tubes that Walmart sells for $5. And we went to a local little river that flows through our area, dropped a car at like one end and another car at the other end, and just floated on down in our $5 Walmart tubes, which was so fun to do with a group of friends. And you can either link up by holding each other's tubes and float along, or you can go that one solo and kick yourself away from the group, you know, depending on how the day's going. But that's a nice way to be able to cool down, especially if you don't live near a lot of water or you have rich friends with pools. Go to the crick. Crick.
Crick. Crick.
Crick.
With an I?
Crick.
With a, with an E?
It. That's what they call it in this area. We got a crick in our backyard.
How
the
many?
Creek. Or creek. Or a little river.
Oh, good, good. Okay, I know what that is. I don't have one, but I know what it is.
Yeah. So that's fun.
Yeah, we do have springs and stuff in Florida that are super fun to tube down. Mm-hmm. I love those. And yes, you have to get your own tube from the Walmart because it's much cheaper than renting one there. But they don't let you use the big party tubes at the ones by us, which is so disappointing because Aldi had a great sale on one and our friend got one and was not able to use it.
Yeah. Really? You've got someone monitoring your springs?
Yes. Yeah. Huh. Hey, you know, it's Florida.
Yeah. No,
I don't know what that means. I also...
I just said it.
Yeah. I also liked bike rides, but I added the caveat of early morning bike rides. Mm-hmm. They are definitely better than hiking. We don't have a ton of good hiking places in Florida, not like you guys up north or in the West, but we do have a lot of great roads for biking. And an early morning bike ride with that wind in your face, and then you stop at a coffee shop and get a nice cold brew after your bike, and then go home and shower, and you're ready to be inside in the air conditioning by the time it gets really hot. And it's just, it's a really, really good time.
Yeah. They also mentioned finding free stuff near you. And the summertime is a really great time to find this, especially for those of us in the north when everyone comes out of hiding and you feel like you've got to pack in all of your activities for the year. So this article mentions being able to find free stuff to do in the summer at on websites like meetup.com, Eventbrite. Your local town websites will often list free events, or even like Expedia or TripAdvisor or Groupon. I haven't tried that out. I thought that most of those were for purchase, but they are indicating that sometimes there's free options on those sites. Have you ever tried that, Jen?
Yeah, I don't think there are free options on Groupon, but there are like Facebook. You can look at the events section on Facebook and it'll show you free events near you. And then, but Groupon and like Living Social and stuff are really great for finding deals on like festival tickets. So maybe there's one you want to go to. You don't want to pay full price for entrance. Always check Groupon and places like that to see if there's any like buy one, get one deals or something.
Nice.
All right. Anything else on this one, Jill?
That's it. Moving on.
Moving on. So for those of you lucky enough to actually be escaping where you live this summer, I'm going to be trapped under a baby, but it's, you know, it's fine. Here are the top 10 cost-cutting vacation tips from tripsavvy.com. And its subtitle is Tips to Help Stretch Your Vacation Dollars. Just elongates the word. So... Jill, what are your faves on this list?
So the first one that they mention is buying your necessities before you leave so that you're able to save. So think ahead on what you need on a regular basis, or even some random stuff like aspirin or Tums, because those are the purchases that can cause you to spend more than what you intended, because you're used to having your medicine cabinet at home, but you get there and it's like, oh no, I have acid reflux. What now? I got to drop $10 at the local CVS. That's just not worth it. So bring some of these things along, things that you know are commonly used, so that you don't have to be buying the toothpaste or the hairspray or the face wash or the Tums.
Yeah, definitely. I also liked the idea to plan your meals, regardless of where you're staying. So obviously staying someplace where there's a kitchen or at least a mini fridge is going to be really advantageous. We stayed at the Park Hyatt in Beaver Creek, and we had points, so we didn't pay for the stay. But we also got like bread and PB&J and all the stuff from the grocery store for our meals, and like stuff for breakfast too, so that we could, we planned on where we would eat either a lunch or a dinner out, and then we would eat our other two meals back at the resort. So planning your meals, and that doesn't just include what you will make, but also what you will eat out, which meal it will be. We love usually staying in places where breakfast is free, so that's one less meal we have to worry about. So just make sure you're planning your meals ahead of time, regardless of what they are, so you can budget and save money.
Nice. I like that. That was smart. You don't need to buy three meals a day.
No.
And then they also talk about, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, but renting a condo or a house instead of a hotel room. Sometimes this can be more cost effective, especially if you're traveling in a large group, or if you are considering doing a vacation with some friends. It's a great thing to consider. Rather than going solo as a family, are there some people that you enjoy spending time with that you could split the cost of a larger Airbnb with more amenities or a condo or something? And in that way, it be less, and you might even have access to more if you travel in a larger group.
Yeah. And then you definitely have that kitchen so you can make better meals rather than just like PBs and J's with potato chips on them, but which I'm not knocking. I love. So, but you can only eat them for so long.
You put potato chips on your PB&Js?
Who doesn't? I mean, when you have a sandwich of any kind and potato chips, are you not going to put the potato chips on the sandwich?
I'm not going to. I'm going to put them on the side, though.
You should try it. You should try it once.
I think I have. I'm not totally opposed to it, but it is an interesting thing that people do.
It's a texture thing. It's texture.
Yeah.
You got to like
it.
There
you go.
Yeah. You got to try it at least.
Okay.
My last favorite part of this one is to spend the day away from attractions. So if you are going to a place for a particular attraction, you don't have to spend every single day of the vacation taking advantage of that attraction, because most of the time there's going to be free and low-cost alternatives around there, and you can spend the day doing one of those, and most likely it won't take the whole day. You will maybe spend half a day doing this, and then you can come back to the room or to the Airbnb and just chill, take a nap. Because sometimes when you take a vacation, you get back needing a vacation from your vacation. So spend one of the last days just chilling, and spend it in a free way that is not going to make you feel tired when you get home.
Yeah. And enjoy what's available to you for free at these places.
Yeah.
And you can consider that when you are booking the hotel or the condo or the house rental. You know, does it have a hot tub or a pool, or is it within walking distance of a park or some other fun things that are frugal? And you can kind of take a break from the expensive pieces, but still enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. And of course, finding alternative to airport parking. I mean, maybe others don't know about this, but you don't have to park at the airport. Nope. Certainly, there's plenty of hotels around the airport or parking alternatives that are literally a fraction of the cost. So whatever airport you're going to, look up parking in the area. They'll have shuttle buses. A lot of times even Groupon will have some airport parking options. So definitely do your research before you pay like $40 a day to park at an airport if you are flying to wherever you're going.
Same with cruises. We went on a cruise a few years ago and we just Googled cruise parking and there was a parking that just took a shuttle from one of the hotels and it was half of the price to use that service than it would have been to use the actual official cruise parking. So always, if you're not going to take an Uber, always check to see if there's something cheaper.
Yeah. And of course, the minimalist and the frugal in me likes number 9 on here, which talks about taming the gimmies, which is not an animal. But basically, all these places that just want you to purchase the souvenir cup, the photograph or the autographed photograph. Well, I've never said that before. So if you are a person who likes the souvenirs, you want a memento, think about what is one thing that could help you remember the trip or the memories, or take a lot of pictures on your phone and save them to your computer, but try to avoid purchasing all of these things that are just going to end up in the trash, maybe in a yard sale, but no one's probably going to buy the picture of you on a roller coaster. So just watch yourself there. That can be something that eats up a lot of money. It just seems like $6 here, $3 there, but it can get thrown down the drain with things that are just going to pack your attic. And so you're creating more problems there. Something I like to do is maybe find one thing from each trip. Sometimes it's a free thing. Usually it's something off the beach or maybe something that somebody gave to me or a pressed flower from the area. So I'm not discounting the desire to like make memories and mark that somehow and have a memento to remember it by, but it doesn't have to be the thing you purchased. It could be a really cool seashell, a flower, like I said, a picture that you take near an important thing or time that you enjoyed together. So keep that in mind.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you could skip the middleman and just check out the thrift store for other people's souvenirs that they bought and then donated. So you can
pretend that you went to Europe.
Bye. Yeah, definitely. Oh, there's one more thing on this list. And I would say watch out for it. It's number 10, take advantage of coupons. So I find that a lot of the coupon places are kind of tourist trappy. But one place where you can get around this is to download Yelp. And so you can see right on Yelp, find like the best reviewed places. And then sometimes they'll have specials. Like if you check in, you'll get a free appetizer or you'll get 15% off something or something. And that is a coupon that is, you know, will be worth your money because you're only looking at places that are already well-reviewed instead of getting the crappy ones.
I'm so glad you mentioned that because I just found out about that. On our last vacation to Florida, I did that. I was using Yelp to find good places to eat because that was a top priority for Eric and I, surprise, surprise, was eating, relaxing, and eating good food. So we used Yelp because we trust their reviews. And on most of the restaurants that we went to, if you check in, which literally just means pressing a button, it doesn't need to go to your Facebook or anything. You just check in. And sometimes they might ask you for like a picture of the menu when you check in or whatever. I don't think it's necessary that you do that, but whatever, you can help them out. And then you get something for free. So literally at the one place, it was buy one, get one free entree. Another place gave us a free milkshake. Another place was a free fried corn on the cob. Like it was really good stuff that we got for free at all of these places just for checking in on Yelp. So that's a great tip. Definitely use that one.
Yes. Yeah. I love Yelp. And they'll have like free events in your city too. You can go under the events tab and see what's going on in whatever city you're in. I know they'll especially do them in the summer. They'll do like local events. So download that app and under like the menu tab, go to events and you can see all these free events going on. So that's another
and
free thing.
Yelp isn't paying us. This is not even a sponsor. This is just us telling you that we like Yelp. And we
We're
like
brought
Aldi.
To you by Slip Insides. Yeah. And, but not Yelp or Aldi.
Slides.
Slipping. We like slipping slides. And we were brought to you by those, but not Aldi or Yelp, even though we like them.
Just unsolicited respect for those places.
Yes. And you know what else I have unsolicited respect
admiration
for?
Admiration.
Oh,
the best time of the week.
The bill of the week.
It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the bill of the week.
Hey guys, my frugal bill of the week is a hat bill. And that is because I find myself on this frugal journey, not washing my hair as much, which doesn't mean that I'm disgusting, but it just means that I typically wear a lot of hats. And I'm a teacher first, so I don't wear a hat there. But my second job, I work at a bakery, and I tend to wear a hat, which covers up my nappy hair. And, yeah, I was just thinking about that the other day, and I figured, oh, this hat has a bill. So that could be my bill of the week. So hope you enjoy that. I love your guys' show. Keep doing what you do. Bye.
Girl, yes.
Amazing. That
hat
is
bill.
Creative.
Mm.
Only
yes.
From a teacher would we get a hat bill.
Yes.
The I bill mean, of a hat.
Yeah. And you are mysterious because you didn't share your name with us, which I find even more interesting. So
mysterious teacher baker wear hat
yes.
wearer. That's amazing,
yes.
though. How do you teach and work at a bakery? That's some serious side hustling right there.
Whoever you are.
Yeah.
Mystery teacher. We're
definitely
intrigued.
Wear hats all the time if I had two jobs.
I started wearing hats more, and I have zero jobs. So...
You're growing a human in your belly. That's work.
Yeah, I do. I sit on my butt and I grow a human.
And your
and
payment will be more labor.
Literally. Mm. Mm-hmm. That's depressing. So if you have a bill that's exciting and mysterious, maybe, visit us at frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill to leave us your bill and make us interested. Surprise us. We're excited.
We like surprises. Right. You know what we also like?
The
lightning round.
You get more scary every week.
That's the goal. Thank you. Thanks so much.
We love hearing that we're meeting our goals, and I just want to affirm you that you are meeting yours.
In your scary craziness.
Yes. All right. So today's lightning round are 4 misguided tips for a frugal summer. And these are tips I found on every list of 100 free things to do in the summer or 100 frugal summer things or every list that has too many things on it, essentially.
Mm-hmm. They're just clawing for some ideas.
Yeah. And then you look at them and you're like, ugh, probably not. And so we're gonna call them out today in the lightning round. So are you ready for this, friends?
I'm ready for it.
All right.
It's a lightning round, so how can you be ready? But we're as ready as we'll ever be.
Yes. Okay, number 1, visit Orlando theme parks in late August and September for the cheapest tickets. This is true. This is not a lie. They're not lying about this. But it's also the least crowded. As someone who lived in Orlando for 5 years and who's lived in Florida her entire life, I can tell you there's a reason why those tickets are so cheap. It's because the average temperature is 90 degrees. There is little to no shade at Disney, unless you're standing in line for a ride, which the lines are shorter in that time. It rains every single afternoon. Without fail, it rains every day. Like, we're in a subtropical climate here. Humidity is 100% all day, every day. 100%.
Is that science, or is that like,
no,
like the weather according to Jen is 100%?
That is 100% true. Look in your weather app, and I'll screenshot it next time I see it. But yes, humidity is at 100% all summer. And so unless you hate yourself, don't go to Orlando.
Yeah.
Don't go to Disney World in late August and September.
It's a good point, because usually, you know, Disney, for everybody who doesn't live in Florida, it's can be that once in a lifetime trip. So even if you are doing it for a bit less expensive, to know what kind of vacation you're buying, like, you're still spending a decent chunk of money on that thing. So, you know, eyes wide open on that one, that that's what your vacation's going to be, is rain.
Somebody who does not live in Florida wrote that tip, I assure you.
So number two on Jen's list of misguided tips for a frugal summer is look for last minute deals, you know, because that's not stressful at all. So again, there is truth to this, that you might find deals if you are willing to travel last minute, but it is also true that you might not. And so if you're banking on finding something last minute and intentionally waiting till the last minute, even though you have this chunk of time carved out for the last year, you might come up empty on finding something good. That, of course, is different from, oh, I see that I have an opening in my weekend next weekend. Is there something I could do? Sure, try it out. But if you're banking on your yearly family vacation being a last minute deal, that's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Or even if you are not banking on it and you just find this really great last minute deal on like a flight or a hotel or a ticket, like, there's more that goes into a vacation than just one part. Like, you might get a really good deal here, but you're going to pay for your savings somewhere else along the line.
That's a good point. Yeah. If you're trying to scrape it together last minute, then sometimes we can have blinders on to, okay, and how am I getting to the airport? What does transportation look like once I'm there? And what are the costs of food and restaurants in that area? And where am I staying? Like, there can be a whole slew of other things that are unforeseen that we're kind of just like, but it's such a good deal on the hotel or on the flight. Still, it's going to cost money.
Yes, yes. So
especially if you're getting those autographed photographs.
Right, exactly. But number three, somebody from Florida did write this one, go to the beach, because everybody lives by the beach. So it should be really
going
easy
to the beach
for you to
is
do that.
Not necessarily cheap. Yeah.
Right, right. It's definitely not even free, even for locals now. I mean, so you can, yes, going to the beach if you are near a beach is a pretty frugal activity, or going to any body of water is a pretty good frugal summer activity.
But again, pay attention to those like peripheral costs. You know, we live an hour and a half away from the beach. So yes, we could do that in a day, but how much does it cost to get there and get back? What are the tolls? There is parking. And is it only 2-hour parking? So then do you need to keep moving your car? Can you bring food onto the beach, which is the case a lot of the beaches around us? You can't bring food onto the beach. So then even an ability to pack a picnic is kind of like, what's the point? So then you might be eating at a restaurant. And it's just like, this isn't as cheap as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And last but not least, work while you travel for free lodging. you know, because that's why you take a vacation, right? Just to, like, work in a different location. So, like, that's a good idea, like, and it might provide you some change of scenery and some rest, but then that's not really a vacation anymore. Whether you're working from home and you try to continue to work from home, but while on vacation, or if you're, what are they suggesting? Doing other work?
Like woofing, like working on organic farms.
Oh, gotcha.
And other things like that.
Yeah, that's not quite... It could be good for some people, but it's not like, oh, here's an alternative to a restful vacation.
Yeah. If you're, like, trying to be a digital nomad and travel more, woofing and stuff like that is totally cool. But it should not be on your list of 100 ways to save money on your summer vacation. Because... Mm-hmm. Working outside on a farm sounds horrible in the summer. And I know this because my father-in-law owns a farm in Florida.
Oh, gosh.
It's horrible in the summer.
That's hot.
He closes up shop in the summer, as do most things in Florida. You guys hibernate in the winter, and we hibernate in the summer.
Good to know. Come up here.
I know.
Still humid. It's still humid, but...
Hey, it's not 100% humidity, is it?
Yeah, I doubt we get that bad.
No. I would love to know what the humidity is right now in early summer.
Mm.
Maybe I can find it. It's 96 degrees. Feels like 103. Oh, we're only at 10% right now.
Wow.
We're good. So, sorry. No, we're at 44%. We're at 44%. Ugh. Yeah,
go to Disney World right now.
Yeah, right now would be prime time. It would be a lot long lines, though.
You know what we can do? We can wrap up this show by talking about the Frugal Friends Book Club.
Yes. So it is June, and we are reading Digital Minimalism by Cal Newport, because it is the year of minimalism. You've minimized your stuff. You've minimized... your other stuff, and now it's time to minimize your digital stuff. And Cal Newport's book is going to help us with that.
Which does come next, right? It's not necessarily the place you would usually start with minimalism, but now that we've Marie Kondo'd our lives, this is definitely worth thinking about how to make our phones and computers less cluttered. So if you want to learn more about this, get challenged, engage with us on this book in our Frugal Friends Book Club, you can do that. And you can also have an opportunity to win yourself a free copy. And you do that by leaving us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Then you would screenshot that review and email it to us. And so our email is frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And you will be entered to win this book, Digital Minimalism. And we will give away one book for every 5 reviews. So chances are pretty good if you know anything about math.
Yeah, which I know a little bit about math. And I can say you have a 1 in 5 chance of winning. So...
Wow. Yeah. And you're pregnant and you're doing that math.
Right? I'm going to be doing even better math by the time this episode airs, because I'm going to be so not pregnant. It's going to be fantastic. If you want an example of a helpful review that could get you to be one of those 1 in 5 winners, here's our review of the week. I love this one. It's from Melissa, and it is a 5-star review. And that's not a requirement, but it's pretty.
It looks pretty good over here. You know what I mean?
And it says, stumbled upon a good one. Started listening to this podcast a couple weeks ago after I saw it on my mom's iTunes. Hey, moms. I added that one. Clicked on it for fun and realized I know Jill from childhood. I love all the great tips and have started using them in my own life. I love that they talk about topics that I often wonder about, and they've already done some of the research for me. I told my husband, Jacob, that I've been listening to this podcast, and he said, Jill Littrell? She used to be funny, I think. And I happily informed him she still is.
That's
Thank
a good
you,
review.
Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa. I do know Melissa.
Yes, and
that's a fun one.
We are happy to inform everyone Jill is still funny.
Jill's
and
still
she
funny.
Has
New
been
last
funny.
Name, but still funny. Still maintain yes. the humor despite the marriage.
Yes.
Or maybe the marriage. Because of the marriage. I don't know. Sorry, Eric. Love you.
So that is our review of the week. And we would love to hear yours, especially if you're a long lost friend of Jill or me. Maybe.
Yeah.
So that's what we have for you guys today.
Enjoy the rest of your day. Have some frugal summer fun.
Happy summer.
Bye.
Bye.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirian.
Whew. Wow. I look forward to not being pregnant.
Yeah. But then you're going to be nursing.
Oh. That's probably just as hot.
That's going to be so hot.
It's probably just as warm. Yeah.
You're going to need a fan, like, literally right in there. Like
on
right
me.
Next to the baby's face.
I'm going to have to get a battery-powered one because the... Or multiple plug-in ones because I don't think one is going to cut it any for that.
Will Travis let you have the AC on?
Oh, we have. You have to have the AC on, but still, it's so hot outside. I mean, we live like one floor below hell, and it's so hot.
Like, if you were to get on the elevator, it would be like, do you want level 1, 2, hell, or Florida?
Yeah. No, I saw that. It was a comic. I can't take credit for that joke. It was an actual comic where these people were on an elevator, and it opens up, and the devil is like, oh, you want Florida? That's one floor down. And I was like, yes.
That's amazing.
So... It is dreadfully warm, and our home, even if you set it really cool, like, our house is so old, it doesn't, like, get as cool as you set it. So we're working on it. We've got blackout shades, and we've re-insulated, and we're doing some other things.
You'll just lock yourself in one room that's insulated, like, with some dry ice. Like, this is where I'll be while I nurse. Right. Until the baby is weaned, send my food here.
Yes. And our AC is really old, so we're kind of just, like, toughing it out until it goes kaput. So, that's...
Well, you can always come here. Come this way.
I look forward. I should migrate north.
We can all just go up to Maine, where the summers are amazing.
Oh, Maine.
Like, no humidity, but, like, perfect weather. Oh, it's so crisp.
Bless them. Bless them.
Yeah. Except for their winters are awful, so. You know, you can't have your cake and eat it, too. But you can be nomadic and live in a trailer and get
you
the best.
You can be a snowbird.
And have your cake and eat it, too.
Yeah, I do love cake.
I like cheesecake. Cut.